Hi, it's Randy Morrison, Associate Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Chris Vico, Principal of the Vico Group. In this podcast, Chris discusses the value of individual director evaluations. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time today to discuss this important topic. Chris, last year, about this time, you spoke about board composition, board succession planning, and the role of a board evaluation. You touched on director self-assessments and peer reviews as well. The conversation today is to expand on the importance of looking at individual director effectiveness as part of overall board effectiveness. Many companies still don't routinely consider individual director effectiveness, do they, Chris?
Thanks very much, Randy. I think individual director evaluations are the clear next step in the discussion of board effectiveness. You know, many of us have been thinking about and conducting board evaluations since the early 1990s when they first became prevalent. And since that time, there have been articles written and conversations had on the efficacy of including director self-assessments and peer reviews as part of board evaluations. But they still are not really that common.
Why do you think that is, Chris?
Well, some people worry that looking at individual director performance has the potential to affect board collegiality, but I haven't really found that to be the case, but I do recognize that it's a worry. What's more likely to destroy collegiality are issues among the directors that haven't been surfaced. And many board evaluations are still handled internally by the corporate secretary or general counsel, and the question is, will board members be candid with that person? When I was in-house, I managed the board evaluation process at my company, and we eventually added a self-assessment process for directors that consisted of the board chair calling and speaking with each board member. It was informal, not everyone participated, and no reporting out occurred, but it was a start. And regardless of the reasons, director self-assessments where the directors are given an opportunity to reflect on their own effectiveness are still not common. And peer reviews, where directors are asked to comment on the performance of fellow directors, are even less so. When you were in-house, Randy, your board was ahead of the game and included both the self-assessment and peer review in its board evaluation, and they used an outside consultant, which made it easier for them. In my experience, directors can be more candid with a third party than they can be with someone from the company, or even a fellow board member. And conversely, the third party can be more candid with the board and individual directors than someone in-house is able to be. In PwC's 2014 annual corporate directors survey, a growing number of the directors surveyed believe there's a need for some board refreshment, and an even larger number acknowledge that there are impediments to replacing underperforming directors. They cited board leadership being uncomfortable addressing the issue, and the lack of individual director assessments as the main reasons for not addressing the issue of underperforming directors. While many directors in that survey felt their board evaluation was effective, almost two-thirds of them felt their board assessment process was a check-the-box exercise. These results reflect our experience as well, that board evaluation processes can easily become rote, and they just may not be as effective or as helpful as they could be, especially when individual director effectiveness is not included as part of the overall evaluation process. And from another perspective, we know that investors are spending more time these days on board composition, director tenure, and board effectiveness reviews as they analyze the company's overall governance and performance. For example, State Street Global Advisors has issued its director tenure policy, which uses a formula which reflects their concern that long-serving directors on boards may reflect a lack of refreshment of skills and perspectives on the board. They also believe that a long tenure may diminish director independence. ISS now includes director tenure in its quick score. And the Council of Institutional Investors sees the board evaluation process as a potential catalyst for board refreshment. And they've called on companies to include some disclosure of the board evaluation process in their proxy statement. So, as director tenure and board refreshment are already major areas of investor interest, this to me suggests that individual director performance is ripe for additional scrutiny.
What's the process for evaluating individual directors?
Well, you can probably tell that we recommend including director self-assessments and peer reviews as part of the overall board evaluation process. We do some advance work, reviewing board materials, conducting interviews, all in an effort to understand what's going on with the board and the company. And then similar to the board evaluation, we'll tailor questions or statements for the director assessment process to the company and the board, in some cases to the individual director, all with a focus, though, on the director's effectiveness and ability to meet his or her fiduciary duties. We'll send out those questions to the board member in advance to stimulate the conversation, and then have an oral conversation with each one. Directors are able to talk about how they believe they're doing and what they think they might need to be more effective. With the peer review, directors have the opportunity to comment constructively on the performance of their fellow board members. I heard recently about a company that separates the annual director evaluations from the annual board evaluation by several months, and this was very interesting to me, but this approach works very well for them.
When you conduct director evaluations, what do you do with the results?
Well, we'll provide feedback to the individual directors on their peer reviews without attribution, of course. And these can sometimes be sensitive conversations and have to be done with discretion and tact, while still conveying what needs to be conveyed, both positive and not so positive. If during the self-assessment interviews we hear similar comments, for example, a need for more in-depth information on a complex issue, we may suggest that the full board spend time on the matter. It just depends on what the issue is. You know, some directors want additional education. Perhaps they're new to a committee or new to the company, and we'll report then on the overall need and then often recommend solutions. When we deliver the results of peer reviews to individual directors, the process often results in changes in director behavior, and in some cases it may lead to changes in board or committee composition. These evaluations may be the first step in a longer process, just as the board evaluation may lead to changes in how the board functions. Results can also be reported to the board's governance committee and leadership in ways which can help them understand and then take steps to address director concerns about individual director performance. The process really can help the board culture evolve to one where appropriate action is natural and expected when problems are surfaced, or when it's just time for some change.
What are some of the benefits of individual director evaluations?
I think first taking the time to create a well-thought-out process for individual director assessments, and then disclosing in the proxy statement that such a process exists, along with some disclosure of the overall board evaluation, will go a long way to satisfy the investors that the board itself has the matter of its own composition in hand. It should also help counter tendencies to rely on age or term limits as board refreshment mechanisms. I find these mechanisms to be too easy and overly arbitrary, and they don't address skills issues or organizational needs. An additional benefit of a process that allows for the regular review of both board and board member effectiveness is that it creates a culture that recognizes the value of bringing additional skills and competencies to the board, and removing unproductive board members so they don't impair the overall effectiveness of the board. It also may introduce the notion of expected change on the board to a board culture where the expectation has typically been that once you join the board, you often stay for as long as you want to.
Any final thoughts, Chris?
Well, in my experience, Randy, directors are willing to actively participate in the individual director evaluation aspect, and they're willing to identify and address areas where they might need to be more effective. For the most part, they just haven't been asked to do so before. There's clearly a link between having an effective directors and having an effective board. In my opinion, it's time to acknowledge that link and begin to incorporate individual director evaluations into board evaluations on a regular basis.
Thank you, Chris. This information has been so informative. I appreciate your spending the time.